Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Amen. Amen. Y'all did a superb job today, as usual. Amen. It's good to see everybody, and if you have an empty seat beside you, fill it next week. So ask somebody to come with you, to come visit. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the source of our power. It's going to surprise us a little bit because it's worship. Everybody say worship. What would it be like if we did what we just got through singing about? What would it be like if we came together and we poured out our praise instead of trickled it out? What would that look like? What would be the results of it? So I really believe that we're still learning how to worship. We haven't got it conquered. We haven't met the fullness of what God says and what he sees about worship. A lot of times we will pursue a word. I got to have a word, or I've got to have ministry. And the whole time we do that, we'll step over the very train of his presence. Now, there's nothing wrong with the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with us seeing and hearing what God has to say. But you know, a lot of times we don't have a great value of coming together to worship. That's the reason. Don't get mad at me today. If you want to, you can. But don't get mad at me today. But that's the reason sometimes that we don't mind being late, because our value of this setting and worship is not where it needs to be. So it's okay to come in 15 minutes late or 20 minutes late or whatever. See, we've got to hold a high value of his presence. We are the body of Christ, not in its completion, but we are the body of Christ. Amen. That's what the Bible says. That's who we are. So the presence of Jesus is present when you come, when I come. And he really wants us to be unhindered in our worship to him. I love worship, I really do. But sometimes we have reduced what we just did to a warm-up for the word. That's not a warm-up. It holds the highest value as does the word. But sometimes we'll race right by his presence because we're really wanting the word. We should not be a people of the word only. We should be a people of worship. We should be a people of praise. And we should be a people not just be a worshiper, because the Father is not looking for worshipers. The Father is looking for true worshipers. The one that can pour out the heart and not give just a little bit. Brenda has asked me sometimes, you know, said, could you get me a little water? Sure. So I go, and being who I am, I bring back maybe it may cover the bottom. But sometimes it's a little bubble or two that's around the bar. And I said, here, honey. She said, I think I have to be more specific. I said, well, that's a little water. She said, well, bring me back a lot of water. And I said, I got it, honey. I got it. It's just a little... just me being me. So we just can't give, we just can't say, so, I mean, what would it be like? What would it be like? What would it do to the atmosphere? What will it release in the community if we poured out from our heart worship that is unhindered? Without any fear of man, without any fear of what it may look like to others. In the New Testament, the word worship means to kiss. And it also means, in the Greek, it also means like a dog that licks the hand of the master. I want to show you something. Can we have that video ready? And give us some sound. He was covered up. He's his master. Hadn't seen him in a while.
Thank you.
Worship, Jesus says in his word, is to kiss. Like a dog licking the hand of his master. Now, I'm not saying we have to listen to this word, act that way. But our heart should carry the same excitement. The same passion as what you saw on that video. I can't wait. I can't wait to worship the Lord together. Matter of fact, I'm going to be there earlier instead of later. I'm not fussing at anybody, so don't take it that way. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to everybody, but I'm talking to myself as well. To have that much passion and that much desire to be with the Master together. Together. The first time worship was used in the scriptures was in Genesis 22. Listen to this, 1 through 5. And it said, and it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and Abraham said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him. Offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will tell you. And Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering. And he arose and went to the place where God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw that the place from a distance. And Abraham said to his young men, you stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder. I knew he was a southerner. Yonder. He said, we'll go yonder. And listen to this statement. Listen, this first time worship is used in the scripture. We will go yonder, and we will worship and return to you. We're going to go worship. First time it's mentioned in the Bible and in the context, he's telling Abraham, take your son, the gift from God, take your son, your only son, and I want you to take him up to a mountain that I'll show you, and I want you to offer him as a burnt offering. Man, when you think about that, you think about, what? Whoa. Surely that's not God, but it was the voice of God. And you know that he prepared the altar, lit the fire. He had his son on the altar and lit the fire, and then the altar for the burnt offering, and he's about to take his son's life. He raises the knife, and listen to this. He heard God say, Abraham, this is what I want you to do. Go do this. Aren't you glad he didn't stop hearing the voice of God? Then he heard the voice of the Lord again saying, don't harm him. Don't take his life. Now I know that you will not withhold anything that I ask of you. So what did we learn about worship in that? First time it's mentioned. So the origin of our worship has to be that we withhold nothing from the Lord. And so we learn in this that he asks us something that is of supreme value to us, extremely valuable. And he asked Abraham for it. And he says, you young fella, stay here with the donkey. Me and my son's going to go worship. Knowing what was in front of him. See, we have to be willing. We have to have a willingness to give to him everything that he's worthy of, and he is worthy of everything. So the basics of worship in the scriptures at the very beginning was that worship is a decision to place a higher value upon God than anyone else or anything else. That's worship. Places a higher value on him. His presence, not just his word, but his presence. And we reduce it so many times to just a few songs, and let's get it over with. I want to hear a message. When it may be the very thing you need is to engage in the encounter corporately with the presence of God. I honestly believe that a lot of times our unbridled, our unreserved worship being poured out to him will fix a lot of problems that we have. Do you believe that? In his presence. What? Come on, tell me. In his presence is what? The fullness of joy. See, but a lot of times we can't handle that thing about joy. And a lot of times we won't be able to be able to do exactly. You know, have you ever read scriptures and it never had an effect on you? Nobody other than me. Yeah, I mean, he says, rejoice. What part is always? always. Rejoice always. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Rejoice always. And it says, pray without ceasing. Communicate, talk to God without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks. Well, surely you can't give thanks in this. Surely you can, because he said, in everything, give thanks. He hasn't changed. So our worship is not an event. If it's an event, then let's just have an event and go home. It is a lifestyle, not an event. When we reduce it to an event, then we're holding back. I mean, wouldn't you like to hear from the Lord? I know that you will hold nothing back from me. I know that you will not withhold anything that I'm asking you for. So we have to examine ourselves and see, are we withholding? Are we holding anything back? Is it just a couple of drops in the cup when he's asked for it all? See, we need to pour out. But if we don't have the right concept of who God is and not becoming true worshipers, which the Bible says those that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Because he is looking for true worshipers. There's a lot of worshipers out there. Matter of fact, if you only have a strong desire for the word and not a desire to worship him, then you will soon become a Pharisee. You will soon become a very religious person. Because all you want is the word without his presence. There's nothing wrong with an anticipation of coming to hear what God has to say. Right? You want to come here and you want to hear what is God saying to me today? What is God speaking to us today? There's nothing wrong with hungering for the word. Nothing wrong with that. But we have to be a people that don't walk right by his presence, go and sit down and get ready just for the word. And you just walk right by his presence without acknowledging who he is. See, the scriptures also tell us that he said, Isaiah has talked rightly about you, because he said, your lips, and you're honoring me with your lips. But he says, but your heart is at a distance from me. He said, it's far from me. Who you really are and who I really am to you is way off from where you are. And he calls that kind of worship empty. It's vain. We can come and do and go through the motions of what worship in the house looks like, we think. But when we say, well, this is what it looks like here. No, it looks like whatever is unbridled to you. This looks like whatever you're not holding back. That's what he's wanting. Whatever you're holding back is what he's after. I sing a hallelujah. What did it say about the storm? I'll give a hallelujah. I'll sing a hallelujah right in the midst of a storm. Right in the midst of things getting dark. Right in the midst of things shaking. Right in the midst of stuff going on. Winds getting stronger. Right in the midst of the rains coming down and you don't even know where to go. Right in the midst of I'm going to sing a hallelujah right in the midst of the storm. The storm comes and we're like, oh my, whoa, 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 whoa. And then we become fearful. Doubtful. Wondering. But we just got through singing 2 days ago in the midst of the storm. I will sing a hallelujah praise to you. That's what I mean by reading scriptures or singing songs and it has no effect upon us. Aren't we tired of that? You may be pouring every bit of your heart out. I'm not judging anyone. But I am saying if we're not doing that, we're still holding back. We're still holding back on something that we feel like is a higher value. My reputation is a higher value than my worshiping God. So that's when it's out of alignment. That's when we're just really not there. God wants us to get there. God wants us to be able to pour out a praise with the breath that he's put in our lungs. He so deserves it. He so deserves it. And if we're going to worship him in spirit and truth, we need to understand what that means. In spirit, when you go back and study that, in spirit, when we worship in spirit, God is spirit. And if we worship him, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit, what does that mean? It means to be in communion with him. Communion with him. If you're not communing with him, you're not worshiping in spirit. Then our worship becomes vain. It's that communing with him that it's like, Lord, I'd rather be healed here than anywhere else. I heard one man say, I'd rather be here than in jail. And I said, man, why do you have to use that? It's because do you mean you can't, you know, even when you're on the mountaintop, I'd rather be with him than on the mountaintop. Do you hear me? Mountaintops are great, but there's nothing like the presence of God. Valleys are lonely sometimes, but there's nothing like the presence of God in the midst of that valley. Yea, though I walk through, don't stop. I heard a man say, if you're going through hell, don't stop. Keep going. Don't camp out in the middle of everything. You keep going. Because he going with me. Another passage that I want to share with you. There's so much I want to share with you, but Jesus told this woman, said there's an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers are coming. That's what Jesus, true worshipers, the ones that's going to worship him in spirit and truth, the worship of the Father, for such is what the Father seeks. What do you mean for such? True worshipers is what he's looking for. He's not looking just for worshipers. He's looking for true worshipers. truth. And the Spirit is the communion with Him, the intimacy, the into me see. Coming before, into me see. What did David say? Search me, O God. Search my heart and see if there's what? Anything in me that needs to go. That's intimacy. And we'll see the truth, he said, worship me in spirit and truth. The truth is not just the sincerity of who you are. That truth really means, in the context, that truth really means the concept of who God is. Is why we worship. Not a false thing about God. Well, God doesn't love me. That's not worshiping truth. God doesn't care about me. That's not worshiping in truth. God's not there for me. That's not worshiping in truth. That's not His character. That word truth is connected to His true character. To be able to worship Him in truth is you worship who He truly is. Share something here. We often have many things that God wants to show us, and when we go through difficult times, see, a true worshiper with the Spirit, with communion with God. By the way, that's the reason He's knocking on in Revelations when He's knocking on doors. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's writing. He's not writing to lost people. He's writing to Christians. He said to the church. He's writing to Christians. He says, listen. He's writing to Christians. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You have to get that image. The door of your heart, the compartment of your heart that doesn't have communion with Him. That's what He's after. That's the reason when He knocks on our heart, we feel Him knocking on our heart because He's after something. He's after the communion. He said, any man that hears my voice and opens the door, I will what? I will come in with him and what? Commune with Him. That is absolutely awesome. He is so wanting us to commune with Him, to fellowship with Him, and to share our life with Him. He so wants that. And then yet He stands outside of that compartment in our lives that's holding something back, and He's after it. But He's so gentle. He's knocking on your heart, knocking on my heart, just wanting to enter into communion with you in that very area that you're holding back in. You may be saying, I got this. Anybody ever done that? I got this. And found out later that you didn't have it. All of a sudden it just slipped through your fingers and all that. See, the thing is, Isaiah said, he saw, after Uzziah died, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And then he said, his train filled the temple. You have to understand this. Isaiah is in a service in the temple. Like we are today, but we are the temple today, but like we are here, he's in the temple, and he says, he had a vision, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, which means his glory is filling the temple. What do you see when you see him? Is his glory filling you? Do you have that desire like the dog? I can't wait to get to him. I got to get to him. I got to get to him. I got to get to him. Here he is. I got to get to him. I got to get to him. God, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. It's not worship of man. It's like, I can't wait to get there. And then when it's time for us, the song service, well, it is a song service. But it's time when we start our corporate worship together. But see, it's hard to have corporate worship when I'm holding something against Brother John. I got something against Brother John. Oh, happy days, Jesus. Happy, and look over, oh, happy, and I see him. It's like, I ain't too happy with John, you know. You know, we don't say those things, but when we withhold from each other, we're the body of Christ. If I'm withholding from John, I'm withholding from Jesus. As you have treated one another, so have you treated me. The angels, with Isaiah, the angels started singing, started saying to one another, singing, holy, 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 when they see God. Holy, holy, holy. And what else do they say? His glory has filled the earth. He's filled the whole earth with his glory. And you and I may look and say, boy, this earth's in sad shape. That's the world. But I know what he said. The whole earth is filled with the glory. Do you see it? Our heart's got to be with him to be able to see it. To be able to see it. And he saw the glory of his presence. What if we poured out worship every time we came? What would happen? If we have that, then when trials and temptations and troubles and things happen that bother us and all, see, if we do not have that heart of worship, we will go to automatic default. We'll go to default that complains, that carries resentment, that carries bitterness, that carries all the other stuff, because that's our default of the flesh. So we have to be a people that, yeah, it's stormy. As a matter of fact, just a few weeks ago, let me ask you this. How many of y'all are going through stuff? Raise your hand. You're going through. I mean, wave high. You're going through stuff. Me and Brenda have been going through. Say, we're just like y'all. We go through stuff. And next thing you know, I would say what's the first thing you know, but Shane Searcy's here. And I can't say what's the first thing you know. What's the first thing you know, Shane? Oh, Jed's a millionaire. He did that to me. He did it again today, but I asked for it. See, in the song was the first thing you know, oh, Jed's a millionaire. Anyway, well, the first thing we know in worship, that problem ain't near as big as it was. And the presence of God overwhelms any problem that you and I have. Brenda, we're going through stuff. Brenda said, she looked at me and she said, okay, here's what we need to do. Now, I said, well, you know, I'm thinking we're going to really get some answers here. Brenda's done heard God and here we're going to get some answers. She said, okay, here's what we're going to do. And I said, all right, honey, what'd God tell you? She said, we got to go pray together. Now, we pray together, but that wasn't the answer that I really wanted. I wanted the fix. But see, she was given the fix. She said, let's pray. Let's go pray. So we did. We went and prayed specifically about these things. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things on earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Yeah. Well, Pastor Charlie, where are you at? Come on up. Did the team go and play it? We got a song that we're going to sing today, and it's going to be our closing. See, when we have a heart that is truly after him, when we have a heart, doesn't mean we're perfect. It means we're truly after him. Can't wait to get with you today. Can't wait to get together with you. When we have that heart and something comes up, we don't go to default. We start praising our way right through it instead of going to complaining, grumbling, murmuring, resisting the Lord, resentment, having all of that stuff that we can easily default to. We just keep our focus on him. This song, what's the name of this song?
Did you feel the mountains tremble?
Did you feel the mountains tremble? Now, I want you to stand up. I want the doors open, because this thing calls about... See, unbridled means we're not ashamed of who we are. We're not ashamed of who God is, and we're not ashamed to worship in front of anybody. So we're going to open the doors and let the noise of worship. People will call it noisy. And it can be without a heart. But with our heart, it is the aroma of God. It is our unbridled worship of God. So join in, and after this song's over, this, we'll go eat some taters or something. I don't really know. All right. Did you get anything out of this?
Yes.
All right. Let's worship him. Let's worship him.
Prepare the way of the risen Lord.
knees tremble when all the saints join in one song, and all the streams flow as one river to wash away our brokenness. And here we see that God, you're moving. A time of jubilee is coming, when young and old will turn to Jesus. Bring wide your heavenly gates, prepare the way of the risen Lord. Open up your heart. Open up the doors and let the music play. Let the streets resound with singing. Songs that bring your hope. Songs that bring your joy. Dancers who dance upon injustice. Sing it again, open up.
You're free to go. God bless you. Don't forget to sign up about the ultimate treasure hunt. God bless you. You don't want to leave, do you?
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.